This morning, please take your Bible, open to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 8 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. We're going to start out with this particular passage. We will also end with this when we come to the last point of the outline. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are both referencing a very special offering that the Apostle Paul was trying to collect for the saints at Jerusalem that were going through great tribulation and testing from the Lord. He was asking other churches to receive offerings, and then he would come around with some of his men or send some of his men to come around to these churches, pick up that offering and deliver it to the churches at Jerusalem. So the principles that are given in these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, are principles that also apply very well to missions giving, which is a special offering or a special gift for especially missionaries that serve on the foreign field. And they're not here, they're in another place, and they're giving of themselves and giving up many of the things that we enjoy here to do the work that God has asked them to do. And they depend on folks just like you and me for their support so that they can do the work that God's asking them to do on another field. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 of chapter 8, and then we'll have prayer. And then I want to talk to you this morning about this thought: giving pleases God. Giving pleases God. Notice, if you would, our text. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. This grace is referring to the grace of giving. And Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and trying to encourage them, based on the example of the churches in Macedonia, you folks in Corinth, you made a promise. Now please do your best to fulfill that and abound, as he said at verse 7, abound in this grace of giving also. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. For each and every person who's already here, I pray that you'll meet with us and minister to us. Speak to us, Lord. May we listen carefully and hear what you have for us. Bless us as we continue with the service, and please help me to say what you would want said this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever stopped and contemplated some of the examples that God has given us in his word about giving? There are many, many, many examples. We have this one here, of course, and we're going to use this to start with, and then I'll mention it again when we get near the end of the outline today. But these folks at Macedonia were not rich in any way, but they were having to do without themselves. But when they heard about the need in Jerusalem, they did everything they could to be a part of that special offering. And when Paul says here in this letter to the church at Corinth, when he says that they gave not as we hoped, he's referring to the fact that they gave a lot more than what we thought they were able to give. All right? So he's trying to encourage the church at Corinth to do the same thing with what God has blessed them with. But that's just one example. If you go back to the Old Testament, of course, and we're going to look at some other scriptures here today as well, but if you think about the very first family, Adam and Eve, and then their two sons that God gave them, Cain and Abel, one of the very first things that we read about concerning Cain and Abel is revolving around an offering. It's really revolving around giving. And each one was giving something, you know. Cain was giving from the fruit of the ground, and Abel was giving one of his flock and so forth. And I'm not here this morning to talk about, you know, the difference of their gift, but just want you to see that even in the very beginning, they apparently were taught by their parents, Adam and Eve, about this matter of giving, you know, to the Lord. Then, of course, in many places in the Old Testament, we read about giving. I think about a man who is a favorite of a lot of people, and that is a man named Abraham, how that he gave, the Bible says, tithes and offerings to the Lord. And then, of course, Jacob also gave tithes and offering to the Lord. By the way, if I can pause and just go back for a little bit to mention something about Abraham. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 22, I believe it is, where God asks Abraham to give something that's very, very special to him? You say, well, aren't tithes and offerings special? Yes, they sure are. But in this particular case, God asked Abraham to give his son Isaac and put him on the altar. That was a real test, which, by the way, Abraham passed with flying colors. But again, we're talking about giving. And there's many examples in the Old Testament. And then you read about different individuals like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many others, of course. And then when you get to the end of the Old Testament, you got that book called Malachi. And Malachi is a shorter book, just four chapters. But in chapter 3, it really narrows in on giving. And it talks about giving to the Lord and not holding back from him. And he's kind of scolding the people there because they had held back on the Lord. They even asked, you know, well, how did we hold back from the Lord? And Malachi's answer was, in tithes and offerings. Well, then, you know, from Malachi into Matthew. And, of course, Matthew has a lot to say about, all the Gospels do, and much of the New Testament, but Matthew has a lot to say about giving. And do you remember this in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, I believe it is, where God is, through, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, is scolding the Pharisees and the scribes for their, you know, lack of heartfelt devotion. And they were going through the motions. But get this, even in going through the motions, one of the things they did do was to give. In fact, as the Lord even, in one sense, I see it this way, commended them for the fact that they were giving tithes and offerings. And they tithed even, this is a little bit further than most of us go, but they were tithing even into their spices. Right? I mean, mint and anise and cumin and They were tithing. They were so careful to do the letter of the law and give their tithes and offerings to the Lord. And of course, the scolding comes in the fact that even though they were doing what they were supposed to do physically, their heart was not really in it and with the Lord. And then, of course, we come to passages like, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It talks about in verses 1 and 2 that every one of you on the first day of the week, you're to lay by him in store, you know, the things that belong to the Lord. And that's tithes and offerings again. And then this passage here in 2 Corinthians 8 and chapter 9, a special offering. You get my point, I'm sure. There's many, many, many examples in the Bible of how that God wants his people to give. And so I want to suggest this thought to you, and I'll try to emphasize this as we go through the outline this morning, that giving pleases the Lord. If you ever think about just your life and mine, when we serve the Lord, isn't there an element of giving in that? There is, isn't there? This is something very simple, really, but even in the act of coming to church, isn't that an act of giving in one sense? I mean, you're giving up time and energy and gas and different things to get here. Now, I didn't use a whole lot of gas to get here today because I live right next door, you know, but everyone else made an effort to get here and spent some gas money to get here and so forth, and getting up in the morning and getting dressed and getting ready and coming to church and so forth. And then, of course, if you gave an offering today, as the offering plate came by, that's another act of giving. And when we tell others about Jesus and we pass out tracts and we invite others to come and those kind of things, you know, we are giving to the Lord. And then I can't help but think about this. When God, the Father, made it possible for you and I to have a relationship with Him, wasn't there an act of giving involved there as well? As the Father gave His Son to be our Savior? So much of, I guess, if you can just remember this, I've got other things, many other things to say and passages to look at, but if you can remember this from the message today, this relationship that we have with God is all based upon giving. It's all based upon giving. And He started it, right? I mean, God the Father started it because He gave His Son to be our Savior. You've probably thought often, as I have, that had the Father not done that, where would we be? Oh, man, we'd really be in a bad way, wouldn't we? Giving. Giving pleases God. He demonstrated that for us as an example. Jesus, of course, gave of Himself throughout His earthly ministry, gave of Himself to different individuals. I could take time this morning, which I'm not going to, and show you many examples in the Gospels where He gave Himself to minister to others and help others and please the Father, of course, but then ultimately the giving of Himself on the cross of Calvary and all that He went through when He suffered and died there, was buried and rose again. He gave, and He gave, and He gave. And by the way, He's still giving. Amen? He's still giving to us each and every day. I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying the weather recently. Amen. Who do you think's responsible for that? Huh? I'm really enjoying the fact that we still live in a free country. Amen. Who do you think's responsible for that? I'm really enjoying meeting together with born-again Christians like we are here this morning. Who do you think's responsible for that? Amen. You know, I mean, there's so many examples where God is taking care of us and watching over us and protecting us. And think about, I was telling Sarah recently, in fact, just this morning, about how I still find myself reliving the 2 weeks that we took to go away and all the different places we went. And part of the reason of reliving that, of course, is that different individuals ask me, even still, did you have a good time and where'd you go and what'd you do and all that kind of stuff. And I share a little bit with them. Well, that just brings up all the thinking and thoughts about how much fun we had and how enjoyable that was and so forth. But all those miles that we traveled, nearly 3,000 miles, and who do you think protected us during all that time? Well, the Lord did. And He took care of us and watched over us. And anyway, giving. God is still giving to us each and every day. And so as I live my life and you're living your life, we need to remember that God has been so good to us and gracious to us and giving towards us. How could I repay Him for His kindnesses to me? And how could I get involved in giving myself to help further His cause? And how could I give so that our loving and kind and devoted missionaries could stay on the field and do the work that God's given them to do? How can I get involved to help make that all happen? And I want to be involved and make all that happen. And even something as simple, and I'm going to get to the points of my outline here in just a second, but even something as simple as giving in the Project Blessing offerings in October and November to help make up a Christmas gift to our missionaries. If you were a missionary and you were serving in Kenya or Hungary or India or some of these places that we have missionaries, wouldn't you like to receive a special Christmas gift around Christmas time that maybe you could use to help get something special for your wife or your kids? Or, I mean, if I was a missionary, I always think about that this time of year. I would want to receive that gift. And so when I think about that, I think, well, if you wanted them to receive that, then you better be a part of that. And we, rather than give it each week, we try to do it at the end of each month, give what we would have given for each week, do it all at one time. But we'll do that in October and also in November. As you think about this topic of giving pleasing God, I want you to remember a couple of things, just three very, very simple things. And some of it you might say, well, didn't you touch on those things already? Perhaps I did, but I think these are good to be reminded of over and over and over in our life. And one first thing I start out with this morning is give according to your ability. Give according to your ability. I want to show you two scriptures. One is Old Testament, one is New Testament. The Old Testament one first, Deuteronomy chapter 16. You'll be surprised, I think, if you've not remembered this passage, but Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. In preparation for today, I was surprised again to see the wording that's mentioned here because it's Old Testament. And we would expect it to be perhaps in the New Testament, and it is, but notice in the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. 16 says this, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. So those are the three times, feast of unleavened bread, feast of weeks, and feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Now, verse 16, that's Old Testament, and you would expect that to be Old Testament. It's not found in the New Testament, all right? But notice verse 17. This is the one that is found in the New Testament that surprises me that it's in the Old Testament. But verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Now, think about this with me. This is Old Testament again. And God's saying, you know, through Moses to the children of Israel, three times in a year, all your males are supposed to come before me. And he gives those three times, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles. Don't come before me empty. Bring an offering each one of those three times. And then he says in verse 17, every man shall give, did you catch this? As he is able. Every man shall give as he is able, look at this, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Old Testament, concerning those offerings. It really stands out to me because, to me, I think about the Old Testament giving and I think about how specific God was through Moses as he laid out the different offerings that they were to give. But then this phrase again, or this sentence again in verse 17, as you're able. Oh, well, it makes good sense, though, when you think about not everybody has the same amount of sheep, right? Or the same amount of turtle doves, or the same amount of, you know, whatever the offering required was in the Old Testament. Not everybody had the same number and same amount of, and maybe the same quality of, and so forth. But every man according as he is able. And then the New Testament passage I wanted to show you was 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2. This has to do with that collection for the saints, by the way, which I'm referring to in this message. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, the church at Corinth, upon the first day of the week, of course that's Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store, here's the phrase, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Verse 2 again, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. I hope this isn't shocking to you when I say this, but God doesn't expect us all to give the same amount. Now, again, we're not talking about the tithe. The tithe is 10%. And even in that, it's not going to be the same amount because we earn different amount of our earnings, you know, our living. But the percentage is the same. But offerings are different. Offerings, like, for instance, your offering for missions. We call it around here faith, promise, missions, giving. Offerings like that, they're not all going to be the same. According as God hath prospered him, or according to your ability, or according to the Lord's leading in your life. You know, in our church here, and I've done this for years, encourage the people to pray during the month and say, Lord, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to give? I believe this with all my heart. God's not going to tell me to give the same amount he's going to tell you to give. And he's not going to tell you to give the same amount he's going to tell me to give. God's not looking for equal gifts. But he is looking for equal love and devotion. He's not looking for equal gifts, but he is looking for equal love and devotion. Everyone is supposed to give according to his or her individual ability. Offerings are over and above the tithe. They are according to your ability to give. By the way, friend, do you remember this? And I'm running out of time, so no, we're going to look at it anyway. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. I want to show you this. You're familiar with the story, I'm sure. But look with me at Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 14. Matthew 25, verse 14, okay? Matthew 25, verse 14. And it's kind of a long passage, but again, you're familiar with it, so you follow along fast as I read fast, okay? Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. By the way, he represents God, who called his own servants, that's us, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. I'm pausing because I want you to catch it. And to another 1. So notice different talents, different abilities, different gifts. Unto one he gave 5, to another 2, to another 1. To every man, here's the phrase, according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. You know, I've only got 1. I don't have 2. I don't have 5. I only have 1. God knows that, so he understands why I'm not going to make any more with that. Maybe not. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Please watch what happens. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Now notice verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. That's 5 talents. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 21. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Wait a minute. That's the same thing he said in verse 21 to the one that made 5. Had 5 and made 5. His Lord said unto him, verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, 2 talents. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So those 2 receive the same, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That's interest. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That was the first guy. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The point I wanted you to see is that different abilities receive different amount of talents. And when the Lord comes back, the only thing you're responsible for is what he gave you, and did you use it properly? The only one that got scolded was the one who didn't use it properly. The other two who used it properly received the exact same reward from the master. See, God doesn't expect equal giving, but he does expect equal devotion and love. God's desire is that we all abound in this grace of giving. And so the encouragement here in point number one is, give according to your ability. Please, don't worry about, and don't even give a second thought to what Mark Weiss is going to give. Don't even give it a second thought, because it doesn't matter. You are responsible before God for what you do. I am responsible before God for what I do. Give according to your ability. Second thought I wanted to give you today, and we are going to look at another passage. Give according to your faith. Look at Mark chapter 12, would you please? Mark chapter 12, verse 41. This is a shorter passage. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Again, you're familiar with this story, I'm sure, if you've read your Bible. You've seen this before. You've probably heard it preached on before. But Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44, and Jesus sat over against the treasury. Can you picture this in your head? Can you picture Jesus, for instance, sitting in the auditorium of Stoughton Baptist Church and sitting near the back wall and watching as people, you know, some churches do this, by the way, where there isn't a set of ushers that come pick up the plates on the communion table and walk through the auditorium and people put their offerings in. There are churches that do this still in America and in Wisconsin, I know this as well, where there's just a box in the back with a slot in the top, and anybody who wants to can put their offering in there. There's churches that do it that way. That's kind of what was happening here. And Jesus is sitting near that box and watching as people came in. Notice again, went out, and what they put in. Verse 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, it's referring to that box, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. I got to be honest with you, I haven't known a whole lot of rich people in my life, but I knew one at one time, and he happened to be a part of my very first church, and I considered him to be rich. Let me just give you an example. He was so rich, We shared the same birthday. He was so rich that every year he'd give me a $100 bill on my birthday. Boy, I was really sad when he left the church. Please notice I'm smiling. I'm smiling. And I was sad when he left the church, not because of the loss of the $100 bill, which amazingly that stopped once he left, But I was not able to repay him in kind, by the way. He made a good amount of money, and he was very generous to the church too, also, by the way, and to missions. But anyway, Jesus saw that there were some that went by and they cast in much, and many that were rich. End of verse 41, cast in much. Verse 42, here's you and me coming along. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now, that's different money than what we have today, of course, but you get the idea. It'd be like, you know, other people casting in hundreds of dollars and she casting in two pennies or two nickels, you know, just something very, very small and insignificant. Verse 43, and he called unto him his disciples, the he being Jesus, called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow, please notice this now, hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Remember, he sat near this box, and there were many that came by and cast in much. And Jesus said, this little widow lady put in more than all those other folks together. Verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance. If I'm honest, that's me. If I'm honest, that's where my offerings come from, my abundance. I think if we're all honest, that's probably where our offerings come from. It comes from our abundance. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. You get the idea. It's like if you only had $100 in your checking account, you wrote out a check on that day for $100 and put it in the box. She cast in everything she had. No wonder the Lord said she cast in more than all the rest put together, because she gave everything she had. Now, I don't know if you see this or not in that passage, but I don't see that Jesus scolded the others, do you? It doesn't look to me like he's scolding them. He's just saying they cast in of their abundance. But he is kind of bragging on this little lady here who gave everything she had. And the reason I bring this passage to the pulpit this morning is because she had, obviously, at least in my opinion, she had greater faith than the others did. You don't have to answer out loud, and I wouldn't answer out loud either, but I'm just going to bring this out for us to consider. When's the last time in an offering you gave the last of what you had? I'm going to just speak on behalf of myself. I don't think I've ever done that. And why? You ready? I'm not sure my faith is that great. I'm not saying this to embarrass anyone or make you feel small or insignificant. I'm just trying to be honest with you and think about, as compared to this little lady here and those others, I fit in with the others because I'm giving out of my abundance. You know, I know the thoughts that go through my head. I got to be a good steward of all this, right? Because I got a car payment coming up, or I got to get groceries, or I've got, you know, this payment coming up. I gotta be a good steward of what I have. So, yes, Lord, I want to give to your work, and I want to support our missionaries, and I want to help them, and I want to do more than I have been doing. But I'm not really there yet where I want to give you everything I got left, because I got this coming up and this coming up and this coming up. This example here in Mark chapter 12 shows that this little lady, even though it was a small amount in comparison, it was a large amount as the Lord saw it, because she put in all that she had. You know, sometimes the more we make, the harder it is to give sacrificially. There are folks that I have known, maybe you too, that when their income was small, they were able to give a pretty good portion of what they had to the Lord's work. But as they made more and more and more, it got harder and harder and harder. This gentleman that I was referring to earlier, remember him telling me one time that, you know, Pastor, you got to understand, when I give 10% of what I make, it's a whole lot more than anybody else in your church. And I remember saying to him, it's true as far as the amount is concerned, but it's not true as far as the percentage is concerned. Because 10% of 100 is the same as 10% of 1,000, or 10% of 10,000. 10% is 10%. So when you're talking tithe, it's equal across the board. Now, offerings, that's over and above, you know, that's different. But you understand what I'm saying. I will say this, and then I'll move on to my last point this morning. It's always going to take faith to be obedient when it comes to giving. Whether it's like these who gave out of their abundance, that's me, or whether it's this little lady who gave everything she had, it's always going to take faith. But give according to your faith. How much do you believe God wants you to give, and can you by faith do that and trust Him to make it up to you? Give according to your ability. That was number one. Give according to your faith. That was number two. Here's the last one. And we're going back to that passage where I started. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. I have an idea that these folks in Macedonia were a lot closer to that little widow woman than the others, right? Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. It almost suggests here that they had to beg Paul to take their offering. Almost like he was saying, you guys can't afford that. Don't you realize how poor you folks are? They had to beg them, or beg Paul, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped. Again, it's the idea of more than what we thought they could do. But first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you, the Corinthians, the same grace also. Therefore, as ye, the Corinthians, abound in everything, you abound in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. You abound in all those things. See that ye abound in this grace, the grace of giving. See that ye abound in this grace also. Number one was give according to your ability. Number two is give according to your faith. Number three is give according to your personal surrender. The giving of yourself is what personal surrender is all about. You notice the churches at Macedonia, first thing they did, they gave themselves to the Lord. That's why they were able to give much more than what the Apostle Paul thought they would ever be able to give, because they didn't have much, but that didn't mean anything. You ready? They didn't have much, but that didn't mean anything because God had all of them. I hope you understand this morning, I'm talking to myself. Is that my problem? Because God doesn't yet have all of me. Though the churches at Macedonia didn't have a whole lot as people saw it from the outside, God had all of their heart, and that's what helped them to give a whole lot more than what they ever thought that the Macedonian churches could give. What's the difference? It's the level of surrender. The level of surrender. Verse 5 mentions the giving of yourself to the Lord. And that's required if you're going to give what God wants you to give. Now, a couple of things. I'm almost done, but hear me out and think about this. Think about this in relationship to you, yourself, okay? Because only you know this. I don't know this about you, but I know you know this about you, and God knows this about you. There probably are a lot of people in this room who could give testimony that they are giving more now than they once thought possible. Don't worry about anybody else, just think about you. There probably are individuals here that if we took time to have people give testimonies, there are probably here people that in this day and time where we're living, you're giving more now than you ever thought possible years ago. By the way, you ready? I'm one of those. When I get my giving statement, most every year I look at it and I think, how did that happen? But If I'd have saw that amount years ago, I'd have thought, I don't know that that'll ever happen. But you know why that is? It's because as the years go by and you grow and you get closer and closer to the Lord, and yes, God prospers you. There's no doubt about that. God has prospered us in many, many, many ways. And one of the you know things that happen is Our church takes such good care of us, and of course now we don't have those other little mouths to feed. I'm just being real honest with you. So there's just the two of us, so the church taking really good care of us, and we don't have those other mouths to feed. Well, naturally I can afford to give more than I had before. when all the little mouths were still there and you had to take care of them, and I didn't make near as much back then, it was that much more difficult to do what I'm doing today. You understand what I'm saying, I hope. Now, this doesn't happen all at once. It's over a period of years and over time, of course. But your level of commitment is greater. Your level of surrender is better. Your level of faith is better. Many people in this room, I'm pretty certain of this, and I don't know what you give, but I'm just guessing because it happened to me, it's probably happened to you. You're giving more today than you ever thought possible. And by the way, I want to commend you for that. I want to commend you for that. When God has control of our heart and our life because we're surrendered to Him, the matter of giving is not something that's all that difficult. Because God already has it. See, you know this, you've heard me say this before, but if God has my heart, He has this too. This is my wallet, by the way. He has this too. If He really does have my heart. So, when we think about giving, giving is something, as I see it, throughout the Bible, it's seems to say to me anyway, that this is a very good way to please the Lord and to honor Him and to show who's our master and to be involved in His work and so forth. It started, I think, with the very first family, Adam and Eve, and has continued throughout all the Old Testament and the New Testament and all the way up to today. When you want to please the Lord, one of the great things to do is to get involved in giving. Give of yourselves, give of your time, give of your energy, give of your abilities, give of your tithes and offerings. You know, do it, these three thoughts today, according to your ability, according to your faith, and according to your personal surrender. I'm hoping, as I'm sure many of you are, that I'll hear, like the men heard in Matthew chapter 25, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I hope that's your desire as well. What does the Lord want you to do for missions? Well, that's between you and God. But I do encourage you to ask Him. And then whatever He lays on your heart, just do that. All right? Let's stand together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll wrap all this month up as far as the preaching on missions and giving and things like that. I'm thankful for the churches that I've been able to pastor, including this one, that we've normally watched God bless because of the missions giving. And most every year, and I've seen it here too, most every year we take up the faith promise. And we always meet that or exceed that most every year. I believe this year will probably be just like that. And I want to commend you again for your level of commitment and surrender to the Lord. As I pray, please make sure and ask God what He wants you to do. And then just follow through with that. Heavenly Father, it's been my privilege through many years to pastor people that want to be involved in the work of the Lord and want to do what You want them to do and are willing to ask and willing to seek Your will in this matter. And I pray that this year will be no different and that our church family will each one ask what You want us to do and then follow through with whatever You show us and tell us. And that'll be a wonderful blessing to watch our missionaries be supported and get separate special gifts along the way as the years go by. And we get to be a part of, for instance, Christmas offerings and special offerings that come up. Thank You that we can do that, Lord. You've always blessed the churches that I've been privileged to pastor. You've always blessed them financially. And I believe it's because people are taught and practicing what biblical giving is all about. Bless this year as well. And bless the thoughts I've shared this Sunday to all of our hearts and lives. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.